Get your Bibles out, if you will, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 11. I gave the title of this evening's sermon this morning when I preached. It's called, I Am a Baptist. I Am a Baptist. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to go to verse number 9. Matthew 11, 9. Once you find it, why don't you stand up? Matthew chapter 11, verse number 9. And I'm going to read three or four verses here. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, starting with verse 9. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from that days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're going to use verse 11 to help us. Again, it says, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And we're going to talk about that for a little while, but let's pray. Holy Father, control our thinking. Help us tonight to know more about you, to know more about your intent, and in regard to your church. I pray, God, that we would understand about your church and what a great, great institution, what a wonderful thing you've done in making the New Testament church. Now, Father, help us to enjoy that church tonight, but help us also to understand a little more about the Scripture and what it says about the church, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Many months ago, when I candidated for the pastorate of this church, I was straightforward with those of you that were here. I told you who I was and what I was, and I was not ashamed, or I did not hide in the slightest the fact that I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I am a Baptist. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. And you say, what does that mean? I'm not a Southern Baptist. I'm what they call an independent fundamental Baptist. When we say independent, that means not controlled by others. We're not a part of a denomination. There's not a headquarters that controls the functioning of this church. Well, there is a headquarters, but it's ran by God Himself, and it's up in heaven. When we say fundamental Baptist, that means we believe the fundamentals, the basics of the Bible, and we don't think those have changed. So when we say an independent, that means we are a church that gives answer strictly to God, not a denomination. An independent, fundamental Baptist church, meaning we believe the fundamentals of the Bible, and we go back to those fundamentals. Now, so you know, I've never been anything else. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I'm dead, I'll be Baptist dead. I've never been anything else. Your pastor, it wasn't that I was a Pentecostal for a while, now I'm a Baptist, and I wasn't a Catholic for a while, now I'm a Baptist, and I wasn't a Methodist for a while, now I'm a Baptist. I've never been anything but a Baptist. And I've been hungry, but other than that, I've been a Baptist. I grew up, and when I was growing up, when I got saved, from the point that I was saved on, I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church. I learned the Baptist doctrine from the Bible. I went to a Baptist Bible college, and I married a Baptist babe. When I preach only with people that are independent fundamental Baptists. I don't go out and try to start a war about it, but everywhere I preach, the question is asked to the pastor who will be preaching with me. And they might think it's just because I want to know what the personality is, but I always check to see that that person and I would believe the same way. No sense in going and causing contention somewhere. And I never seek opportunities to preach. I've never asked anybody in my life. Not one single time have I ever tried to get a speaking engagement. But when they do come to me, I want to find out, will I be preaching with people that are Baptists? I only have Baptists preach for me. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I have no intentions of ever changing our church name and dropping the name Baptist to try to reach more people. Now, you have to understand, there are what we call First Baptist churches everywhere out there. Now, the original meaning of First Baptist Church, it was trying to say that the Baptists were the first New Testament church. Now, they just grab up that name and they want to use it because they think it has some clout. But everywhere you go, in towns and cities and villages, there are what we call First Baptist churches. Now, so you know, the First Baptist Church was started about 31 AD during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. It was empowered on Pentecost and had already basically been started, but there was a nucleus of people that formed a Baptist church. Now let me explain. The Catholic Church started in 313 by Constantine, understanding that 290 years prior to that, the Baptists were already meeting and already had a church formed. The Lutherans started in 1530. That was part of the Protestant Reformation. And so you know, I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I want to make sure that's clear. The Episcopalian started in 1531. The Congregational Church started in 1602. The Methodist under John Wesley started in 1785. The Disciples of Christ, or the Church of Christ, started in 1812. And then around the 1900s, the early 1900s, the interdenominational movement came on the scene. They've not been around much at all. And I might also say they are usually the ones that head toward the contemporary stuff because they're the most temporary of all of them. But when you research and you'll see historically the Baptists started 290 years approximately before there was ever a Catholic church at all. And so all I'm doing is I'm giving you a little history. The title of my sermon is I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. Now, I want us to look real quickly at the first of Jesus's ministry on earth. If you have your Bible there, turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, find verse number 21. Luke chapter 3, verse number 21. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, I'm going to read two or three verses to you. But in Luke 3:21, it says, "Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli." Now, I want to look at something. I want to make sure I've got the right verse here. And in Luke 3:16, glance at that. It says, "John answering, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now look back at me. Jesus began his public ministry at approximately the age of 30. When that happened, it started when he came forward and was publicly baptized. Now, I want you to understand something. He was not baptized by a Catholic. He was not baptized by a Pentecostal. He was not baptized by a Church of God preacher. He was not baptized by a Methodist. He was not baptized by an Assembly of God preacher. He was not baptized by a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a moron. He was not baptized by a Lutheran or a Muslim or a non-denominationalist. He wasn't a community pastor, a community church pastor. Jesus was baptized by John the what? The Baptist. You can't take that word out of there. I didn't put it in there. God did. This is not my book. It's God's book. Now, I claim it. But he was baptized by John the Baptist. I want to explain. Some people really don't understand. Baptist was not John's last name. we would have Nossinger the Nut, you know. Rockwell the dumbbell. Where's Daniel at? Back there. Baptist was not John's last name. Baptist was a title. Now, when John was born, which is found in the early chapters of the Gospels, they called him just John. But then when John's ministry was brought on the scene, the title Baptist was added to label his doctrine and procedure. What was God the Father's response when Jesus got baptized? And remember, Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, he was baptized by John, who was a Baptist. Now, let me ask you this question. Was Jesus perfect? Yes or no? Yes. Did he do perfectly everything that he did? Yes. Was his baptism by John the Baptist the perfect thing for him to do? It had to be. But let me point out, after being baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit shows his approval. Because in verse number 22 of Luke 3, it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Here, when Jesus comes to be baptized by the Baptist, the Spirit of God comes down in that heavenly dove, showing his favor, not only of the baptism, but the type of baptism, which was by immersion, but by who baptized him, which was the Baptist. That was God's way, the Holy Spirit's way, saying, I am in great approval of the immersion, of the baptism, and of John the Baptist being the one baptizing Jesus Christ. Not only that, after being baptized, God the Father shows his own approval. Because in verse number 22, it says, "And a voice came from heaven." Now, let me explain something to you. God's voice was rarely ever heard. Matter of fact, if I heard God's voice tonight, I'd hide under the pew. Now, there are people who say, God spoke to me. Well, when he speaks to me, he has a real light way of doing it, but I never hear his audible voice. I believe they heard the voice of the God of the universe, who said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Now, what in the world was taking place at that time? Well, what was taking place at that very time is that Jesus Christ was being baptized by immersion by John the Baptist. And so you say, well, which one of those was he well pleased with? All of them. He was not just pleased. He was well pleased. So we see baptism by the Baptist, baptism by immersion, baptism out of obedience, all of that was well pleasing to the Father. Now you have all three parts of the Trinity there. Jesus, the walking Word of God, the Holy Spirit came as a dove, the voice of God the Father, all three got involved. Who was there? Jesus was there, God the Father was there, God the Holy Spirit was there, and John the Baptist. Pretty good team. So first of all I want to say is, I've now showed you the launching of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus himself exalts this Baptist preacher, John, above all other preachers alive on the face of the earth. Matthew 11:11, we read that earlier. If you have your Bible and you want to glance at it, you can, but if it's going to take you forever to get there, just listen. Matthew 11:11, in the very first part of the verse, it says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Wow, that's a big thing to have said about you. If your Bible is a red letter edition, let me tell you something about that. First of all, you say red letter, that means that's something that God said. God said it all. Everything from the first word of Genesis to the last word of Revelation, God said it all. Now, what someone has done is taken in the New Testament the words that were spoken by Jesus Christ while he was walking on this earth, and they put those in red. But so you know, the Word of God is the same as the Word of Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, Jesus was God come in the flesh, so all the words could be in red. I'm not going to start a war over the red letters, but I'm just here to say, though, when you look at Matthew 11:11, I want you to make sure you understand that is Jesus talking. This is Jesus Christ that said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And did you know that with that, when that was said, Jesus didn't have to call him John the Baptist? He could have said, "None greater than John."
Right.
Did you know there's no accidents in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
There's no uh-ohs. God didn't wake up and say, "Well, I didn't know we put that in there." Oh, look at that. Look at that. Eureka. Wow, zowie, Batman. No, it wasn't like that at all. He said John the Baptist for a reason. He chose to call him by his title, the Baptist, on purpose. Hey, if you want to call me Jeff the Baptist, you go ahead. I don't mind that at all. And it says, notice, none greater. I'm not shocked that Jesus felt that way. You say, why? Well, this is John. John did baptize him. And I might venture out a little bit here. In my opinion, John, for all practical purposes, was as much as Jesus Christ had a pastor on the face of the earth, John the Baptist was the pastor of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, he's the one that baptized him. Jesus was uplifting what he thought was the greatest person on the face of the earth, the greatest man of God on the face of the earth at that time, other than Jesus Christ himself, was his preacher, his pastor, John the Baptist. You can't get around that. It's in the Scripture. John was not just Baptist in title, but he was Baptist in doctrine. He was Baptist in practice. That's how he got the name Baptist. And he was not just right in doctrine and practice. He also carried the title Baptist. And so, the first thing we see is that the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we see his involvement with John the Baptist. And that's who baptized him. Then we see that Jesus, in turn, turns around and he uplifts John the Baptist. Number three. Then you'll see that Jesus chooses to associate and join up or yoke up with John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Now, let me explain something here. The Bible says that Jesus was in Galilee, and he looked and searched until he found John the Baptist. Do you understand? That means he sought him out. I don't know what other churches were along the way. But from wherever Jesus was to where John was, there was a journey and a search. This wasn't a random act. Jesus didn't say, "You know, I think I'll go find some place to get baptized." And he stumbled into John the Baptist's place and John baptizing. No, he came looking for John the Baptist. He was choosing on purpose to associate with him. He on purpose said, "I want John the Baptist to baptize me." In Matthew 3:14 it says, "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And you know something? Jesus could have baptized John. He was God. But this is what happened. Jesus comes, seeks out John, finds John, and says, "I want you to baptize me." And John, in his humility, says, "You should not be joining me. I should be joining you." And Jesus answering said unto him in verse 15, "Suffer it, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So get it. Jesus seeks out John on purpose. He finds John. He says, I want to be baptized. And John says, you want me to baptize you? I don't even deserve to help you latch your sandals. And I ought to be joining you. You ought to be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. And Jesus said, I have to let you, John, baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. Now, so you understand, Jesus this proves that baptism doesn't save you. Jesus didn't need salvation. Sinners need salvation. So this was not an act of salvation for Jesus Christ. This was an act of obedience so that he might keep his perfection. He said, I must be baptized. And you might think it's a coincidence, or as my mom would say, a coinkydink. But it's not a coinkydink that Jesus said, I must be baptized by you, John the Baptist, to fulfill all righteousness. That's a pretty loud statement. I have to be baptized by John. Why? I want to keep my righteousness at 100%. I want to keep my perfection at 100%. And so, this shows you, that's why I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I have no doubt about that. I believe that John had a name and that it was John, not John the Baptist. That was the title. And on purpose, Jesus came to him. I had a young man that I had worked with, many, many young men that I'd worked with and tried to help train for the ministry. And a young man said, I'm going to go way up north and he was going to start a church. And he did. And he contacted me and said he wanted to talk with me. And he had told me he sent me a little envelope in the mail. And in the envelope, there were pictures of his church and their gospel tract of his church. I began to notice that his church, he didn't put the title Baptist on his tracts. Then I seen the little sign that he put out in front of his church, and it didn't say it was a Baptist church. And he had asked me to give him a call, and he'd given me a flyer of a promotional item, and it didn't say anything about a Baptist church on it. And I gave him a call, as he requested. I said, you know, brother, how's it going? And he said, it's going good. He said, did you get the package? I said, I did. He said, well, Brother Owens, what do you think of my printed material? I said, it's really classy. It's really first class. I said, but, you know, and this is a young man I trained. I wouldn't go call somebody. It's not my business what they do out there. But if they ask me, that must mean they're inquiring. And I said, brother, I just noticed that you're just starting your church. I said, why isn't it a Baptist church? He said, well, Brother Owens, you don't understand. Way up north here like this, Baptists are not real well accepted. He said, I think I'll build a bigger church if I don't call it Baptist. I said, when did we send you out to build a bigger church at any cost? By the way, I was pastoring a church of 1,200 people with the name Baptist on it. He was pastoring 12 people without the word Baptist on it. I said, look, Doc, I said, I think you're making a mistake. Your roots, your doctrine, and everything is Baptist. He said, that's my point. He said, everything's Baptist except for I'm just not advertising it. I said, why not? Why not? You don't have to be ashamed of that. And this is what I did. Nobody knows, and I'd never tell you who it is. I'd never tell anybody that. And I said, brother, listen, I really think that you're making a mistake. I said, you know I'll love you and I'll be your friend. I said, but you got to know something. I said, you're a Baptist. You were trained as a Baptist. You believe Baptist doctrine. He said, yes, I do. I said, here's what I'll do. I said, I will personally come up with the money to buy you a new sign for your church. I will personally print 10,000 tracts and we'll put Baptist on your tracts. I'll reprint your stationery. I'll reprint all your envelopes. I will pay for it all, but it is my recommendation, since you called and asked me, it's my recommendation, though it may not be popular in that part of the North to be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, they need a church that stands for what you stand for, and you need to just put it right out there and advertise it. And he said, I just don't think I'm willing to do that. I said, well, I said, if that's what you are, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. Now, I love him. I'm his friend, and he knows that. But he chose to go a different route. To me, it was almost like not wanting to wear his wedding ring. Just didn't want to be claimed. He also lost his wife some years later. Somebody didn't want to be claimed. Now, folks, I'm not ashamed of what I am. So you all know, if you look out when you're driving by the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, there's a sign. You can read it coming from one direction, and it says from that direction, Baptist. Go down, turn around, come back from the other direction. It says the same thing on the other side of the sign. It says Baptist. You look at every gospel tract that we have printed, it tells people that we're Baptists. If you pick up one of the songbooks, one of the original songbooks, these blue songbooks right here, soul-stirring songs and hymns, and right on it, it says Twin Rivers Baptist Church. If you checked on us in the phone book, they call us a Baptist church. We put the word Baptist on our church bus and the word Baptist on our van. The annex over there tells everybody that we're a Baptist church. How would anybody get confused? But we're Baptist. But you can tell people we're Baptist. And they're, oh, well, we didn't ever hide it. Not going to start hiding it. I am Baptist not by preference. I am Baptist by conviction. Doctrinally. There's a few things, and I won't be long. I'll be done with this sermon. There's a few things that Baptists believe, what we would call some of the fundamental beliefs. I'm not going to go into them all. I'm going to mention them very quickly. But there are things that the Baptist church has taught from the Bible, believed from the Bible, some root beliefs that, and some people would call them Baptist distinctives. These are core beliefs of the Baptist. For instance, we believe that Christ is the only head of the church. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We believe that Jesus started the church and he's the head of the church. That's why we don't get involved with denominational type things. And by the way, Mary, you say, well, Mary was his mom. That makes her in charge. I'm very, very sorry. Mary was just like any other woman, though chosen in a special way by God. Mary's not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we believe that. That's what the Scripture says. Then, we accept the Bible as the final authority for both doctrine, practice, and belief. So, we don't get a word of knowledge. We don't come up with something and say, oh, by the way, we wanted to add to the guidelines. No, we've got a set of guidelines. It's a 66-book compilation that we call the Bible. It starts with Genesis, ends with the book of Revelation. We believe what is inside it is inspired and preserved in the English language. God's given us the King James Bible. And we read 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, we believe, first of all, Jesus is the head of the Baptist church. He's the head of our church. Number two, the Bible is our guide, and it is where we get all of our doctrine, belief, and our practice. And thirdly, we only accept people who have been both saved and properly baptized into our membership. Acts 2:41 and 42 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, that means you get saved by grace through faith, not of works. After you get saved, God said, an act of obedience after salvation is to get baptized by immersion. Immersion means going all the way under the water and coming up out of the water. So, the Baptist church believes the Bible teaching of get saved by grace, get baptized by immersion as a result of your obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain. In the Bible, you got saved and you got baptized, and you were baptized into the membership. I believe that when they got baptized, they became a member of the church at baptism. Now, in our church constitution, we have you glance at our constitution before you become an official member, because we want to make sure you know exactly what we believe. But understand, salvation came, baptism followed, and that is it's a basic core belief that the Bible teaches about baptism. So, we believe that Christ is the head of the church. We believe that the Bible is the final authority. We believe that only saved people who have been scripturally baptized by immersion after their salvation may be a member of the church. Then, we believe that we are to remain and function as an independent congregation. I've already said this. We're not led by a denominational headquarters. We are independent. In other words, God works with our church as an individual church, as a separate unity from all the other independent Baptist churches. Within our church, then, there are only two offices that we recognize. That's pastor and deacon. Those are the two offices that God set out. And I might throw this in here. The Bible teaches that the church is led by the pastor. He's the under-shepherd. The head of the church is Jesus Christ, and God appoints a pastor, and then the pastor leads the church. You say, how about a board? I've been bored a lot of times in life, but nowhere in the Bible does it talk about a board. Now, we have deacons in our church because the Bible teaches deacons, but we're not a board-led church. Although we have some godly men, they're a part of our deacon group, and they're very, very good men. But I'll also tell you this, they know that I have to give answer to God for the church, and they help. Now, they help me. Boy, I bounce everything off of them. But at the same time, we are a pastor-led church because that's the way it was done in the Bible. We're a self-governing, self-supporting, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Then, we also practice and preach soul winning. That because it's what they did in the New Testament at the founding of the New Testament church. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, a lot of people hear that and they say, boy, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Whoo! Wow! All the fun stuff that yields. Well, listen to the whole verse. It says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now listen, I love to hear good gospel music. The music we heard was fantastic, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of that. And you all say, I love it when the Spirit gets a hold of the music. That's good, but let me explain. The priority of the Holy Spirit is not getting a hold of the music. It's not getting a hold of the preacher so he can talk real fast and give you some heart robbing illustration. It's all about keeping people out of hell and giving us the power to witness. Now, he does a lot of things. He convicts us, he comforts us, but those things are secondary, primary, according to what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit came so the church would go and have the power to get people born again. Now, a couple of things that what we'll call the ordinances of the church. We believe in taking the Lord's Supper, and we, of course, practice baptism. And those are the primary things that what we'd call the ordinances. And we also, for years, have stood for separation of church and state. In other words, the state doesn't tell us what to preach or what to believe. That didn't mean that God should not be in the government. It means the government can't tell God what to do. That's where that all started. They've got that thing so flip-flopped around. It's pathetic. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." And so those are the primary beliefs of a Baptist church. Christ is the head. The Bible is the final authority. Members must be saved, then baptized by immersion. We remain an independent congregation, not controlled by any other organization on the earth. We have pastors and deacons, and we're pastor-led. We practice and preach soul winning. We have the Lord's Supper and baptism, and we believe in separation of church and state. We don't let the state control, but now we show respect to the state. But when they want us to, if they would ever want us to do something contrary to the Bible, God comes first, state comes second. So y'all know our government more and more want that flopped around. They want state first, religion second. We can't ever submit to that. And I don't know what they're going to try to make us do. If you've ever read in the last days, there's just no telling. But we'll need to know how to stand our ground and say, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, I'm going to make a couple concluding remarks, and I want you to listen to these very carefully. I'm a Baptist without apology. Now, folks, we are to love everybody. I believe that. We're not to agree with everybody and everything they teach. You say, why? Because some are liars and used of the devil to teach false doctrine. That's why. Did you know that you can be saved and not go to a Baptist church? Yeah. That some people believe a thing called the Baptist bride, that you've got to be saved and a member of that Baptist fellowship or a Baptist bride to go to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. You could, now, I don't understand why you would, but you could be going to a Catholic church, but there could have been a time in your life where you sincerely and properly and scripturally asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. Again, I don't know why you would. I don't know why you would even think that. And most of the time, that's not the case, but salvation is something that is taken care of between you and God. It has nothing to do with the church. It's between you and God. But I'd say, why not be associated with the church Jesus started and the one he associated with? You say, which one's that? The one ran by John, his pastor. John the Baptist. You're going to find this out. I don't say this curtly or meanly. I don't promote activities or services at anything but a Baptist church of like faith. And like practice. Matter of fact, there are some churches that are Baptist churches where they're just as wild as all get out. I won't be promoting those either. I support Baptist organizations, and I think our church is supposed to support Baptist organizations. The ministries that are Baptist are the ones that we'll support. The colleges that are Baptist, those are the ones we'll support. The devil wants there to be in the last days what I'll call the ecumenical movement. Let's just all get together. Let's hold hands, light some candles, let's sway like this and sing Kumbaya. We, under my leadership, won't be singing Kumbaya, holding hands with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town. Let's all get together and forget our differences. I can't forget the scriptural differences that are doctrinal issues. And so you know, I believe in unity, and I want unity, but I do not believe in unity at any cost. I do not believe in unity at any cost. I want unity in my church. And you know what? If it comes to my personality and your personality, and there is tension about personalities, I will work double hard to eliminate that. But if there ever comes a day when you want to debate the doctrine of the Holy Spirit or the doctrine of the Bible or the doctrine of salvation, there won't be a whole lot of debating. We're going to say the Bible says this, and if you don't like it, you can hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. I'm sorry, Jack. It's what you get for not turning your microphone on this morning. Cast him into outer darkness. But you know, when it comes to our personalities and our preferences and our opinions, now we ought not be spending all of our time squabbling and fussing and fighting about those things. But wait a minute, I do understand that those with whom I should associate with those that are of like faith. And that's what we'll do. Again, there's a big movement in the United States of America to where people don't want the term Baptist on their churches anymore because they think they'll build something bigger and better. I have to tell you, I'd rather not build bigger and better if I can't stay with the roots and the core beliefs of the Bible. So if you meet somebody in the community and they say, are you one of those old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptists? You can go ahead and tell them yes, because that's what they're going to hear and that's what we're going to be. And I don't apologize for that. And I'm not telling you to be rude or curt. There'll be, hey, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there are all sorts of people in here that have been in all sorts of churches in your lifetime. There's somebody sitting in here that was a Methodist. There's somebody sitting in here that was maybe a Catholic in your early years, and et cetera, a Lutheran. Now, I'm not saying we want to chase all those people away because they need to get saved and they need to get into church and be taught proper doctrine. But what I'm saying is we won't adjust what we believe to them. If they come here, they're going to adjust to us. And you'll find some that will even get saved and come, and they won't give up the roots of their doctrine that's wrong. We'll probably lose them along the way. And I don't want to, but I would rather lose them than lose our charter, as you will. And I'm not talking about the charter of Twin Rivers as much as the charter of God's blessing on the church and the doctrines that we have been given from our forefathers. Simple sermon, and I'm finished. I am a Baptist. Matthew 11:11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. No accident, no slip of words when all this took place. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a very brief time of invitation. Oh, and you may have burdens or needs or something about which you'd like to pray. Some of you ought to be very grateful you've been brought up around the right kind of churches for years. For years. You ought to thank God for that. There's some people in here you've never known anything but the right kind of church. You ought to thank God for it. But we're going to have a time of invitation. If you need the altar, you're welcome to come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're independent, not ran by anybody. We're fundamental. We believe the fundamentals of the Bible. Remember, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. We believe that after salvation, somebody should associate with Jesus and His church through baptism. After we've been saved, baptized by immersion, you become a part of the church, and we'll ask you to join the church, and that's what you ought to do. That's simple. All you do is come and tell us, say, I've been saved, I've been baptized, I'd like to officially join the church, and we'll get your name on the church record. Some of you maybe ought to, in the privacy of your heart, thank the Lord for the, somewhere along the way, you come under the influence of the right kind of a church. Maybe you just stumbled onto it. I don't know. Somehow you got around a church that will teach you and let the Bible be the ultimate authority. No new revelation out there, nothing new being written, nothing more important than the Bible. We don't go by our feelings or anybody else's feelings. We go by what God said. Then we try to follow the Bible strictly. You got to thank God if you've come across that in your lifetime and it influences you. One more time through the song, Mrs. Young, and we'll be done. Go ahead and have a seat real quick.